Good morning. You are listening to the radio worship service from St. Stephen's Lutheran Church in Beaver Dam. We pray that you are blessed through this time of worship with us. I am Pastor Seth Dorn, and I will be today's worship leader. The hymns will be sung by members of St. Stephen's under the direction of organist Dale Grolke. Pastor Philip Heyer will deliver the message for the day. Suffering is the way of life for shepherd and sheep. Our worship begins with the singing of the hymn, Blessed Jesus at Your Word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Amen.
The scripture reading, which will also be the sermon text for this Sunday in the Easter season, is recorded in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. For this is favorable, if a person endures sorrows while suffering unjustly, because he is conscious of God. For what credit is it to you if you receive a beating for sinning and patiently endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is favorable with God. Indeed, you were called to do this because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you would follow in his steps. He did not commit a sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he did not insult in return. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself carried our sins in his body on the tree so that we would be dead to sins and alive to righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. For you are like sheep going astray, but you are now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The word of the Lord. After the congregation has sung the hymn, Jesus, Shepherd of the Sheep, we'll hear the message for the day. Suffering is the way of life for shepherd and sheep.
In the name of our risen and living Savior and good shepherd, dear friends, don't you think life as a sheep would be pretty tough? I don't have much experience dealing with sheep, but the little that I do have, combined with what others have told me about them, leads me to that conclusion. My limited experience with them is from live Christmas nativity scenes that our youth group presented at the church I served prior to coming to St. Stephen's. For a couple of years, we borrowed two or three sheep from a lady who worked with my wife at the local hospital, and she had a hobby farm with sheep. Dealing with those sheep was a real treat. I found the point Jesus made in John chapter 10 about his sheep not listening to the voice of a stranger to be true. This lady took us out to her fenced-in sheep pasture in her pickup truck, and when the sheep saw strangers getting out of the truck, they headed for the far corner of the pasture. It took a lot of coaxing by the owner to get them to come back. And then there's the stubbornness of sheep. What a chore it was to lead and push them up a ramp into the back of that pickup, and then to try to get them out of it. They didn't want to go where we wanted them to go, and boy, did they dig in their heels and resist. That stubbornness can cause problems for his sheep. And then look at the physical characteristics of his sheep. That also leads to the conclusion that life could be tough for them. They are easy marks for predators since they aren't the sleekest animals. They don't have long claws on their feet for fighting and defense, nor do they have the sharp, pointy teeth that would dig into and tear the flesh of an attacking animal. Add to that what I've heard and read about them, that they aren't exactly wilderness smart. They'll aimlessly wander as they graze, getting into dangerous spots, eating vegetation that isn't all that good for them, and maybe trying to drink from fast-flowing streams that could sweep them from their hooves to their death by drowning. It's no wonder our God chose to use the picture of sheep and their shepherd to help us understand the relationship between us sinful human beings and Him, our Savior God. All those characteristics of sheep fit us as we live in a sinful world with a dangerous predator who seeks to separate us from our God and thereby to destroy us. When the Apostle Peter wrote about 30 years after Jesus' resurrection to Christians who lived in the region that is now northern Turkey, he also used the picture of sheep and shepherd to bring across some serious and encouraging truths he wanted them to remember as they were facing the opening wave of persecution of Christians at the hands of the Roman government. In the section of the letter that we have before us, Peter was addressing members in those congregations who were slaves and servants in their society, enduring harsh treatment for their faith and for their style of life guided by their faith. The truth Peter emphasized, and it's one we need to hear again and again, was suffering is the way of life for the shepherd and for the sheep. The shepherd suffered so that the sheep may live, and the sheep may well have to suffer as they live for the shepherd. Peter reminded his readers how their good shepherd, Jesus their Savior, had suffered that they might have perfect and unending life with Him in heavenly glory. The shepherd suffered because the sheep, Adam and Eve, brought suffering to mankind by their sin. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman believers that sin came into the world through one man, and then death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. And each of us is added to the earthly suffering by our own sins. But the worst suffering is the eternal separation from God in the fires of hell that each sinner deserves. All this Jesus, the Good Shepherd, suffered in the place of all people. Peter quoted the prophet Isaiah several times in this little section to make the point of how and why Jesus suffered. He said, "He bore our sins in His body on the tree, so by His death you might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed." Peter also mentioned what physical, earthly suffering Jesus endured without sin. Insults from His own Jewish people and physical pain and abuse at the hands of the Roman soldiers who executed Him. Peter said, when they hurled their insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. But again, the greatest suffering and insult was that He, the sinless Son of God, endured the anger of God over the sins of all people, expressed in Jesus' words from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" All this, the sinless Son of God and Son of Man suffered that we might have the precious assurance Peter gives that you might live for righteousness. We are alive and will live righteous lives forever in heaven. And even now we live for righteousness, living guided by the righteous commands of our God. And at the end of the section, Peter gave this strengthening assurance, "You have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." This means that in every circumstance, those first readers and we are safe in the care of the good shepherd who suffered for us that we might live. We are those sheep about whom Jesus spoke in John chapter 10, the sheep who hear His voice and follow, the sheep who don't follow a stranger. And in Psalm 23, the sheep who are led safely through the valley of the shadow of death. For all this to be true, the shepherd had to suffer. That's what Jesus had told His disciples again and again before He got to Jerusalem that final time. He told them, "We are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will suffer many things at the hands of wicked men. He will be mocked and beaten and crucified. and on the third day he will rise again. Suffering was the way the Good Shepherd gives us life. Peter's point to the believers enduring the sufferings of persecution was that this is what Jesus has called us to in this life. As suffering was the way of life for the shepherd, so it may well be the way for the sheep as they live for the shepherd in this sin-filled world. As Peter wrote about enduring suffering, he made a distinction. There is a difference, he wrote, between suffering and enduring it when you've done something to deserve it, and suffering, enduring it for doing what's right in God's sight. Peter's way of saying it was that it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. Being conscious of God means that you know who the true God is. You know your God is your good shepherd. You know what he does for you. It also means you know what God's will is for your life. You know his commandments and how to live by them out of love for him who suffered for you. So Peter was telling them to make sure that if they suffered pain and abuse at the hands of their masters or employers, it should be because they had done what was right in God's sight and not because they had done something for which they truly deserved some form of discipline or punishment. He asked, if you got punished because you did something wrong, how is that to your credit? What's there to be proud of in that? Why would you complain about that? Or bringing it into our lives today, Peter might specifically ask a student, why do you complain if you get an F on a test when you didn't study for it? Or Peter might ask an employee, why do you think you have a beef with the boss if you didn't get a raise when you're always slacking off at work and showing up late? Peter might ask sons and daughters and their families, do you really think you have reason to complain that mom and dad took away your computer or phone or TV privileges for a week when you didn't do the chores around the house that you've been told to do? And Peter might ask those parents, do you really think someone's going to sympathize with you when you tell them how miserable it is that your teenager doesn't follow your rules when you never made him or her pay the price for breaking the rules when they were 6, 7, or 8 years old? Don't view enduring suffering as noble when you're only reaping the results of not doing the right thing. That was no doubt the case with some of the members of those congregations, otherwise Peter wouldn't have addressed it. It's possible they expected their lives to be easy since they were Christians, and when they weren't, they tried to make it easy by slacking off in their work and not respecting their masters and employers. But Peter made the point, that's not how Jesus, your Savior, your Good Shepherd, handled it. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Peter told them that it's commendable before God to endure suffering for doing the right thing, being conscious of God. Some of those people who were slaves and servants perhaps wouldn't worship the Roman idols in the homes of their masters, along with their masters. They wouldn't take part in burning incense to the Roman emperor, a ceremony that proclaimed him to be a god. Instead, they'd go gather with other Christians on Sundays to pray to a crucified Jewish man and to supposedly eat his body and blood while eating and drinking some bread and wine. They cared for their fellow servants and slaves. And perhaps it angered their masters that these lowly slaves were regarded as equals by the free and middle and upper class people at their Christian gatherings. These people worked hard and honestly, and perhaps other slaves turned on them for making them look lazy and careless. Peter was telling these believers to wear those sufferings as a badge of honor. And so we too ought to view the enduring of suffering when we do what's right in God's sight as a badge of honor. Students who study hard and are respectful to teachers and classmates don't take seriously the comments and digs of other students who slack off. Or you who work hard at your job and give an honest day's work for a day's pay, don't start slacking because of the poor treatment you receive from coworkers who mock your work ethic. You faithful husbands and wives, don't think about unfaithful behavior when you hear mockery of your godly marriage from acquaintances with loose and ungodly morals, or when they try to lead you to unfaithfulness. And as long as we're near Mother's Day, you moms, and dads too, What parent who has ever handed out some tough discipline to your child hasn't heard at one time or another one of these lines? I'm going to my room and I'm not coming out for anything. Or, I hate you. Or, I'm running away and never coming back. You know what the Apostle Peter has to say to you? Good for you. You are conscious of God, knowing that He has placed this child in your care to teach them to know right from wrong, good from evil. You are conscious of God, knowing that God has placed this child in your care to lead him or her to their Savior and through him to eternal life. You did what was right for that child. Conscious of God, knowing His promise in His word, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You trained and you guided. Yes, dear friends, such suffering is the way of life for the sheep who follow the good shepherd who laid down his life for the wandering sheep. But that good shepherd rose to life after laying down that life. That good shepherd told his sheep when he gave them their marching orders, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And the final words of Peter in our lesson give the motivation and strength for enduring the suffering that comes as a result of living for the shepherd. He wrote, for you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This good shepherd is the one written about by King David, who oversees his sheep every step of the way through this life to eternal life. He feeds us with the food and water of his word to give us eternal life through the forgiveness of our sins. He leads us through the dark valley, the valley of the shadow of death. Conscious of God, endure the suffering that comes to sheep of the shepherd. And trust yourself to him who judges justly, for he promises goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our worship continues with the singing of the hymn, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, you are the good shepherd who laid down your life for the sheep. Lead us always to the still waters of your life-giving word, that we may abide in your Father's house forevermore. We ask this of you, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Savior, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. We close our service with the singing of the hymn, I Am Jesus' Little Lamb.
St. Stephen's Lutheran Church is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. This radio service is broadcast every Sunday morning at 9:30 here on WBEV. If you would like a printed copy of today's message or want to contact one of our pastors, you may write to us at 300 West Street, Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, 53916. Please include your name and address and today's date. Again, the address for St. Stephen's is 300 West Street, Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, 53916. You can find more information and listen to streaming audio of our most recent radio worship services by going to www.ssbdwels.com. Click on Radio Services on the main menu to listen to the services.